Let's turn to the book of James. James chapter 1 in our Bibles for our scripture reading here this morning. James chapter 1, and I am going to read verses 12 through 16. James is just a five-chapter book there towards the back of your Bible. If you find Hebrews, it's the next book to the right. James chapter 1, starting with verse number 12. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And again, I read out of an NIV translation. I will read verses 12 through 16. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. And we'll just end right there. Father, we do not want to be deceived. We know that the evil one is out there, and he wants to twist everything. He wants to make what is good look bad and what is bad look good. So, Father, we don't want to fall for those deceptions. We want to fall for the truth of your word. So I ask, Lord, that the truth of your word that we just read here will penetrate each and every one of our hearts here today. And may the message that I'm about to speak, may it be holy and pleasing to you, and may it complement your scripture to help us understand what your scripture is saying. To you be all the praise and glory, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. So how long does it take a pastor to get through 10 commandments? Well, this is week number 31 in our sermon series on the 10 commandments. And today we're finally going to begin our study on commandment number 10, our 10th and final commandment. What is the 10th commandment? The 10th commandment is found, the original one, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, as given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai, approximately 1,440 BC. And he gave these words to Moses, and he says this: "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." That was the commandment, and that was from an NASB translation. That was the commandment that God gave Moses way back when. So we need to answer this question. What is coveting? What does it mean to covet? And I still remember being at a Bible study many, many years ago, and that question come up. This person was pretty new in their faith, and they asked, "What is coveting?" And I answered by saying this: "Well, do you remember the song from 1981 by Rick Springfield, 'You Know That I Wish That I Had Jesse's Girl'? Well, that is coveting. The man in the song wanted somebody else's girlfriend." And we'll just kind of leave that song at that, and now that you'll be singing that song the rest of the day in your head. Let's go to what Webster says. Webster defines coveting as this: to feel inordinate desire for what belongs to another. Now, I have that definition written there in your bulletin, and I wasn't quite sure of the definition of the word inordinate. What is an inordinate desire? And the word inordinate is exceeding reasonable limits. So I kind of redefined this whole thing of coveting to kind of simplify it and said this: to eagerly desire something that someone else has. Or to put it in the first person singular, as the title of the sermon here today is, I really want what you have. That is coveting. Wanting something that belongs to someone else. In the 10th commandment, as found in Exodus chapter 20, 17, God is telling the Israelites not to desire any possessions that your neighbor may have. And I think it is rather obvious that the word neighbor is not limited to the person who lives on this side of you and the person who lives on this side of you and maybe the person that lives across the street or maybe just the people that you talk to in your neighborhood. Your neighbor means anyone else. These people are our neighbors. I found it interesting that while I was growing up in the Catholic faith, the Catholic religion has taken this 10th commandment and they split it into two commandments. One commandment is, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And the second part of that is another commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's goods or your neighbor's possessions. Now, I know what you're thinking. You might be thinking, well, Mike, do they have 11 commandments? Does the Catholic religion have 11 commandments? No, they just have 10. They fail to include the second commandment, which is the one that speaks against graven images and idolatry. That's not part of their 10 commandments. So I'll let you connect those dots, however you want to connect those dots. Earlier in our study of these 10 commandments, we said that the first four commandments deal with our relationship of mankind to God. And the last six commandments deal with mankind's relationship with his fellow man. So let's do just a real quick review of those last six commandments because I need to point out something that's rather interesting. Commandment number 5 is the outward act of honoring our father and our mother. Commandment number 6 is the outward act of murdering, taking the life of another human being. Commandment number 7 is the outward act of committing adultery or some act of sexual sin. Commandment number 8 is the outward act of stealing, taking something that belongs to someone else. And commandment number 9 is the outward act of lying, speaking things that are not true. So let's go to our first fill in the blank because I want to point this out. Commandment number 10 is a little bit different. Coveting is not an outward act. It is solely an inward act. Coveting is solely an inward act. It is a sin that has its corruption solely in our mind and in our heart. There's nothing that we do outward. It's strictly an inward thing. Now, you might be saying something like this. Well, Mike, but it's just an inward thing. It really doesn't hurt anybody. It's just one person in his or her own mind who, they just want something that someone else has. It's innocent. We can dismiss it. And that is exactly what the devil, what Satan wants us to believe. Now, isn't it? We talked about deception last week. Wouldn't it be great if Satan could convince us that as long as it only goes on inside our mind that it's okay? That's exactly what he wants us to believe. So yes, coveting is a sin of the mind, a sin of the heart. And we know that God knows best that there is a reason why God would proclaim such an action as something that would be so sinful. And that reason and the danger of coveting is this. Where will this strong desire that you have in your mind and in your heart, where's that going to lead you? Where will that strong desire for wanting something that someone else has, where will it lead you? We just read in the book of James that within the human mind and the heart, it says that temptation conceives. Now, I think we all know that there is nothing wrong or nothing sinful about temptation. We are all tempted in one way or another. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was tempted. There is no sin in temptation. But it says this, and that temptation gets carried away by our own lust and desires for that temptation. In other words, we start acting on it. And when we do not contain that desire for that something that we want, it gives birth to sin. And James says, and when sin, when accomplished, brings forth death. So there's a dangerous pattern that follows something that is conceived within our mind. The sin of coveting has a very dangerous potential for leading a person into many more sins. And some of those sins can be very dangerous, they can be very costly, and those sins can be even deadly. Why is that? Why is that? Jeremiah 17:9, what a great verse. We should all know this verse by heart. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us this: the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? So our second fill in the blank, based on what Jeremiah is saying here, our second fill in the blank would say this: coveting must stop at the heart. It must stop at the heart if we want to avoid a potentially dangerous situation. It's got to stop. We got to nip it in the bud right there. We can't let it grow any further. So what happens when a person has an eager desire to have something that belongs to someone else and they cannot restrain that desire? Now, I think this is a pretty innocent looking picture that I put in our bulletins here this morning. And I think I kind of get my point across. There's two little children there. One little boy has a lollipop that doesn't amount to much. And I think he's looking at that little girl because he would much rather have what? He wants what? Her ice cream. Very good. He wants her ice cream. He's looking at his little lollipop and saying, I could have this, or I really want what she has. Now, I'm kind of reading between the lines, and maybe that's not what he's thinking, but I'll bet you that is what he's thinking. He wants that ice cream. He wants something that belongs to somebody else. He wants that little girl's ice cream. But what happens when, that's okay for little kids, but what happens when coveting happens when the situation's a little more mature, a little more grown up? I want to share a story with you here this morning. And this is really not going to be story time with Pastor Mike, because by definition, story time with Pastor Mike is something that happened to me. And this is not a story about me. It is a story, however, that I saw on the television that I think is worth repeating because it deals with our subject of coveting. So the story goes like this. The year is the early 2000s. And there are two couples. Over here we have couple number one. They are Thad, which is short for Thaddeus, and his wife, Michelle Reynolds. A couple with three daughters. Over here we have a second couple, Scott and Paige Harper. Happily married couple, so are they. And this couple has four little daughters. It just so happens that they all met each other at the church that they attended. Oh, they are good Christian couples. They attended a church in Rome, Georgia, called Hollywood Baptist Church. Thad was a deacon in the church, and Thad had aspirations of becoming a pastor himself one day. Scott Harper over here, he was the youth pastor at the church. And Scott was doing everything that he could to encourage his friend Thad how to become that pastor, what to read and schooling and things like that. They were great couples and they start hanging around each other. And they started hanging around each other. And maybe there was a little bit of an interest there. Michelle decides to join and become a leader in the youth group that Scott leads. That interest turns into coveting. You see, now Scott has this desire for his friend's wife. And Michelle has this desire for her friend's husband. So what happens? The coveting turns into lying. They start lying about their whereabouts. They start lying about their rendezvous. And what does the lying turn into? Before you know it, Michelle and Scott are having an adulterous affair. All something that started with something called coveting. And now they are breaking still yet another commandment. And now they so desperately want each other. They don't just want each other just on the side, just when they can steal away a little time. They want each other permanently. Did I mention that they were Christians? I just want to make sure I got that straight. So what happens? They start sending the emails. They start doing this. They start meeting. All these things start happening. Michelle finally tells Scott, the only way that you will ever have me for your own is if Thad is out of the picture. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's see where this story goes. It is now 2004. The other half of these spouses, Thad and Paige, have no clue what is going on between these other two. It's the 4th of July weekend of 2004. Oh, they're one just big happy family going out on a 4th of July picnic on a Sunday afternoon, just enjoying each other's company like they always do. And that was on a Sunday. The next day, Monday morning, Thad goes to work. He has to go into work early because that's the type of job that he has. He's in at work at 4 o'clock in the morning. He gets a surprise visitor that comes into his place of business. It's his friend, Scott. Hey, Scott, what are you doing here? Is everything okay? And Scott says these words, I want what you got. And Scott stabs his friend, Thad, 19 times and kills him. How does something like that start? Starts with coveting. Unfortunately, Scott and Michelle were not very good at plotting and planning this whole thing. Forensic evidence was found everywhere. It only took a matter of days following the evidence and following the email trails that these two had something planned to go on. They both went to trial. Michelle was convicted of conspiracy, 20 years in prison. Scott was convicted of murder. He'll spend the rest of his life in prison. Why? Why? Because God told you, 10th commandment, you shouldn't want what somebody else has. So the sin of coveting got in the way with these people. They both wanted something that was not theirs, and they wanted that something so bad that they would stop at absolutely nothing to get it. And that's where coveting can take each and every one of us if we allow it, if we don't nip it in the bud, right in the heart where it's starting. Because the heart is evil above all things. And when the heart starts coveting, and we don't restrain it, it will stop at nothing to get what it wants. And if you don't believe me, ask Michelle Reynolds. Ask Scott Harper what they allow to happen. Maybe they should have went through a sermon series on the Ten Commandments and got all the way through to number 10. Obviously, they never listened to the part about stealing or lying or adultery. We must be extremely careful when flirting with this sin of coveting. Even though it may appear totally harmless on the outside, because it is all on the, it may appear harmless because it is all on the inside and no one can see it there. We only know what's going on. It has the potential of manifesting itself in a very dangerous and ugly and sometimes deadly way on the outside, as we have seen. If you should ever say, or if I should ever say, this goes for all of us, I really want what you have, whatever that may be, your spouse, your car, your possessions, your money, your whatever, your fill in the blank, your job. If we ever get to that point where we say that and we allow this coveting to fester, who or what is going to stop you from getting that thing that you want? What can coveting, or what will coveting turn us into? We can't go there. It's got to stop. It's got to stop right here. But it all begins with coveting. To eagerly desire something that someone else has. Let's pray.